Hi, this is Jeff with the SBCA podcast. If you'd like to be a guest on our podcast or would like more information about the podcast, please contact us at sbcapod@gmail.com. That's sbcapod@gmail.com. Let's get to the show. SBCA podcast. I am your host, Jeff, and I'm so glad that you're here with us today. This podcast is for you. Camp directors, camp managers, camp volunteers, whoever you are, this podcast is designed to give you the information to make you successful, to help your camp grow to its fullest potential. Content, connections, and camps. That's what we're doing here, and we hope you enjoy. Let's get on with the show. It's my honor and privilege to have on the podcast today Dr. Jeff Robinson. Jeff Robinson is the lead pastor of Grace Fellowship, a church for all nations, a large multicultural church in West Palm Beach, Florida. Grace has 69 first-generation nations represented and is a regional leader in evangelism. He is the author of Persuasive Apologetics, The Art of Handling Tough Questions Without Pushing People Away, and also serves as a subject matter expert in apologetics for the Lee Strobel Center of Evangelism and Applied Apologetics at Colorado Christian University. He earned his PhD in apologetics at Liberty University and holds an advanced Master's of Divinity in apologetics from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas. Jeff resides in South Florida with his wife, Jen, and their three children. All right, so welcome onto the podcast, my friend, Dr. Jeff Robinson. Dr. Robinson, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Good to be with you, Jeff.
I saw a post that you had put out on Facebook, and I'm going to read this because when I read it, it actually struck me as was so valuable and something that we really need to hear as leaders, whether it's in the camp setting or in church setting or whatever we're doing. And the post was simply this: a thought on leadership. In leadership, I doubt we can overestimate the value of managing one's own emotions. Leading others requires, in a sense, leading ourselves. Think about it. Leadership involves guiding others to see the goal and stay on mission through unexpected challenges, equipment failures, and the voices of chronic naysayers. Then there's the internal insecurities and fears that every person deals with to some degree. This requires, at a minimum, a baseline ability to manage one's own emotions. How? Start by finding your value and identity in the gospel and framing work-related problems in the light of the greatest problem that was solved by the gospel. Don't listen to the haters. Understand you'll never be able to please everyone and be okay with that. Just make sure you're pleasing the right people, namely the Lord Jesus, who is more than enough for you and what you're facing. Man, what a powerful statement on leadership and a way to focus our thoughts. And what struck me about that is particularly in the camp world, you know, we are faced with a lot of those challenges. We get, you know, as a director, one of the things that I just did a conference with some potential volunteers, and one of the things that we hear a lot, and I'm sure you hear this a lot, is, you know what you ought to do is, and so you get a lot of the you get a lot of those comments and a lot of those things all the time. And this, what you're saying here in leadership, really puts the focus not on what else is going on, but who we're actually serving. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Jeff, first I want to say thanks for having me on the podcast, and I appreciate the work that you do with your role and how many people come through your camps and just are ministered to in an incredible way. What you mentioned in regards to those who say, hey, I have an idea, or hey, why don't we? Why should we? Those are some of the most terrifying words that a leader can hear, specifically in the nonprofit world or the church world, because there's leadership and there's also the need to lead in the spirit of Christ. In certain environments, it's like, man, if you don't fit into the org chart, that's what, who are you and what are you, you know, why are you talking to me about this? In regards to those who bring like ideas that have an element of criticism, there is sort of an idea to say, hey, Jeff, why aren't you guys doing? So there's already like a deficit in that conversation. It's not just the question that they're asking or the idea that they're positing, but there is that, you know, that naysayer grain within what they're trying to do. I mean, I think it just goes back to who we are in Christ. I know sometimes for preachers, it sounds like you're trying to just hyper-spiritualize it, but it's not that. It's the core of our faith. Who am I and who am I trying to please here? Theological level, man, ultimately it's for the glory of God. God is glorified by us serving whom? Who is my constituency here? Like, they were going to make everybody happy. You know that. I know that. Early on in ministry, there's a gentleman that was pastoring in a very small town, wonderful people, wonderful place, but he had been the mayor for 30 years. And he said, son, there's one thing you need to understand. I was 23 years old. He said, you're never going to make everybody happy. And if you do, you're the first one who's done it. You know, it just like, just understand that. Like, that's not a negative perspective, right? Because sometimes we come to leadership, man, we're going to do this and this and this. Everybody's going to love it because, I mean, they hired me. So, like, if they hired me, I mean, they got all my ideas are going to be received well by everybody. That's just not reality. So kind of having a biblical foundation and letting that foundation takes into account human depravity, right? That I don't know at all, that I'm not the perfect leader,
right?
That I'm not going to make everybody happy. So it's not going to, like, destroy our worldview or our self-respect or our joy when we get criticism. We bake that into the process.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that it struck me with this is that it requires a level of emotional intelligence, I think, because, you know, it would be nice if we could say, yeah, as somebody gets into a leadership role or gets into a leadership position, they automatically have this, you know, level of emotional leadership. But that's not always the case. There's a part of where we have to really know ourselves, know what our limitations are, and be able to be okay with that in a sense and say, okay, well, God's gifted me in this area for this thing. How can I enable others to be able to fill some of those gaps and be okay with not being the guy, you know, or the lady or whatever, being able to, you know, I'm not going to have all of the answers for everything, but I can bring you people who might be able to fill in some of those roles. How do we get to a point to where, what are some tools that we can use? I mean, obviously, you know, the Word of God, you know, we're pointing to the Word of God and knowing ourselves and trusting God to kind of continually form our spiritual journey as we're being sanctified. How do we continue to do that? What is the process? What are some things that we need to be doing to enhance our own emotional maturity and get an idea of how we can move forward in our leadership role by doing what we are called to do, not what everybody thinks we should be called to do.
As far as the emotional security, if you want to just use that as a miscellaneous drawer, man, I think a lot of times, Jeff, that in part is informed by our temperament and our wiring. For some of us, we're just more naturally just, we're going to see a hill, you know, give me a hatchet and I'm going to go make it, like, we're going to go build a city. Like, in what point, like, how are we going to do it? I don't care. Good game. Like, let's go, let's take the hill, let's get it. And some of us are maybe more introspective.
Right.
We're more processors. Some of us are more, we feel like our role is helping the vision or implementation, you know, more of this, you got the vision, got like, let's go get it. And then some folks say, okay, well, how exactly would you think this is going to work best? Cause I want to help. And the vision guy has no idea. He's like, we're just going to take the hill. And somebody's like, okay, what do we need to do? Right. So you got your detailers, your processors. And then there are those who say, man, I care about, like, I believe in this vision. I believe in being a part of this team. But I want to make sure the work matters, but the worker also matters. And so some of us are driven more mercy, compassion, yep, making sure that the team members are okay, team health. And again, some super strong, like, leader types were like, hey, as long as we get there, you know, we got, you know, 50% of the troops still there. We still took, we still won the battle, you know, they're like bodies everywhere. So I think by taking a wider perspective, hopefully a more honest perspective, Jeff, is the way that a leader or someone, and ultimately we're all people under authority, right? Even CEOs of for-profit, people say, man, if I was sitting in that seat, everybody, I just tell everybody what to do, they're going to do it, make millions of dollars. And that is not the reality in the corporate world at all. Like, if anything, it's tremendous pressure. But even those who are at the top of the food chain are still, in a sense, under the authority of their shareholders, of their customers. They are serving. They are under that. So in terms of leadership and our stability emotionally, I think in part it has to do with how we're wired. And for some of us, we can go back to, man, stay on mission. Like, if you're more type A, what is the mission? What is the big picture? What has God called us to do? Specifically, this podcast is for leaders, right, Jeff, of Christian camps. So you're not only leading the boards that you are responsible to and your trustees, you are leading, in a sense, those who are behind the camp that are not in a specific org chart, who are giving. You're leading them to help them see the big vision. You're leading the staff. You're leading those who actually come to the camp, the adults and the students. So you got a very wide range of folks. And so for more type A, say, and what is the mission? Again, does this ultimately matter? Is this the big picture? And then if you're wired, you know, more in terms of compassion and mercy, I'm not saying that type A's aren't, but I think we get the general picture, you know, just remembering that that in Christ, I have all that I need, and being able to find other people just to talk to. Some of us don't know how to talk. Some of us don't know when to stop talking. So I don't know if that's a precise answer at all, Jeff, but I'm growing in the area and talking to people that, and that's much of great. Our leadership material, and even a lot of our evangelism material, we're working through a new project with our staff, I think is generally written by type A's and by extroverts. And so how do we go about helping those leaders that are maybe not just the ones that are pounding the table, the ones who can't stop talking, who can talk to anybody about anything? There are different styles of leadership. And so that's more of a process we're working on right now.
Well, you know, it's funny when you mentioned that. I went to a conference that was for fundraising and doing some of those. And one of the seminars was Introverts Unite, which was, I thought was funny, you know, overall. But I went to it because I'm kind of myself. I'm kind of an introvert. I mean, I love talking to people when the opportunity arises, but I'm not going to be the guy that just puts myself out there.
So I mean, it's just not the way I'm wired. Situational extrovert? Like in the moment, if there are people there, you can engage.
Absolutely. Yeah. If the situation calls for it, I definitely would be, I can be that extrovert where I can, you know, I can stand up in front of a group of camp people and just talk, you know, and talk camp, or I can, you know, I can talk in the moment. But on a normal average given day, I'm not going to interject myself into a group or a conversation unless it's expected of me. So I go into this conference, this Introverts Unite kind of a conference, to figure out how to, you know, how can we be better at development and raising funds and doing some of those things. And their only answer was, don't be as much of an introvert. And I was like, well, That's not helpful at all.
that's interesting, Jeff, because a lot of folks who do have, you know, as a broad brushing it, a lot of the folks that you've fundraised from who have capital, not all, but many mm-hmm. are process people. Like you don't mm-hmm. just end up with the ability to write, you know, a six-figure, seven-figure check to a Christian camp by being someone who doesn't pay attention to details. So that's very interesting to me. And Absolutely. Often your introverts are more introspective. I mean, it kind of goes along with the territory.
Yep. Nope. Absolutely. But yeah, that was seriously it. That was basically the whole thrust of the conference there. And I feel like that does a little bit of a disservice because, as you said, you know, those introspective, those who are not the first maybe to jump out there and say, you know, they're not the Peter mm-hmm. who's going to jump out and stick his foot in his mouth every time he says something. But he's got, you know, he's trying to go in the right direction, but he's going to trip over his words doing it. Those that are sitting back and maybe not saying as much. Those are the ones that, you know, sometimes have that, you know, have that bigger picture kind of a thought. You know, how do we get from point A to point B in that sense? So I see that there's value in all of those dynamics. There's value in all of those different leadership styles, and each one within our realm of work and ministry that we're doing, each one has its place, with the understanding that we've got to be careful not to overtake or undersell wherever we are. So if you're a type A person, you can't be the guy leaving bodies on the ground. Like you said, you know, we got there, we only have 50 left. There's going to mm-hmm. be bodies everywhere. But you also, if you're more of the introspective, if you're more of that introvert type, you can't sit back and say, well, you know, in hindsight, I wish I would have stepped up and said something. No, you've got to be mm-hmm. able to, you do have to be able to have that moment to process, but then speak your mind and get involved in what's going on. So as leaders, as people that are in the midst of ministry, how is the best way for us to overcome some of those things that we see as this is our kind of our natural mm-hmm. thing? You know, I'm that natural introvert. I've learned over time to kind of interject myself socially when necessary. What are good ways for us to be able to do that, to pull back if we're type A, to jump in if we're not?
We've started doing flipping profiles through Integris, a great Christian group here with our team, and 360 reviews. I think that's very helpful in terms of where we're actually working, who we're working with. It gives...
So on the... I'm sorry. Just real quick on the 360 review. Mm-hmm. So I've heard of that. I've heard of that term, and I know a little bit. Explain that a little bit to everybody who's listening.
So it gives. On the other hand, you have the personality profiles, and we've all been frustrated by that if we've led a team for like more than 6 months, because human nature. When I get a personality profile, unless I already have a huge level of self-awareness that's going to come from some other source, not that profile, then I'm going to fill it out with how I want to be or like how I am in my own mind. And everybody else on the team is like, man, this dude has no idea the way he comes across. Like this guy is, and it's just like, I remember a guy years past is like, yeah, man, I'm a lion. And like, he fills us out with like the high D, you know, dominant control. And I'm like, brother, you couldn't organize a ham sandwich. Like let's work there. In his mind, he's somewhere else, somebody else, right? He's Schwarzenegger 1980s, you know, but it's not reality. So the 360 review, it has some of the similar categories, but a lot more detailed, but you send that to around six or seven people, some or your direct reports. Some people report to you, or even like a friend or a good mentor. So it's a diversified pool of people, and you don't know who's who, Jeff. So it's very detailed, and there's obviously got to be a certain level of trust. Like if there's some really strong animosity, or if the leader's listening to this, say, you know what, I think we're going to have to, and you're talking with trustees or whoever, I think we're going to have to make a a dehiring or a staffing change here in the next 3, 4, 6 months. It may be not extremely helpful if that person on the other end, if there is tension, if everybody sees that there's sure. a departing happening. But man, that's been super helpful because at the end of the day, I can be whatever leader on paper or write a book or do podcasts. But what actually matters for you at Lake Yale, for me at Grace Fellowship, a church for all nations, like our leadership as it is perceived by those that we are leading where we are, right? Wherever you are, be all there, Jimmy Elliott. So really what matters is what we're leading and who we're leading. And I think the 360 reviews, at least for us, have been a game changer.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, that is it's a great way to get insight that, you know, because like you said, I've done all of those before and I do the exact same thing as no, I want to be this guy. This is who I want to be. I don't want to answer that one, even though I know that's what I would do. But I'm going to do this. So, right. Yeah,
because it's like most of our personality profiles, we're assuming a certain level of self-awareness that if we've not trained our team to have, then we're expecting them to fill out like a DISC profile and they don't have really the tools. And we all have blind spots. I do. That's why they're called blind spots. I don't know what they are. But 360 reviews is a way to find out more of how we need Jesus.
Well, and you were saying before I interrupted you on the 360 thing, you were talking a little bit about some of the other tools that you guys were using. So go ahead with that.
I think just honest conversations with the team that starts with the leader saying, hey guys, here are some areas that I am not particularly strong in or that I just don't know. So letting the team from the top down know our gaps, that we know that we have gaps, is really helpful. And following that with, but here's why, right? Like here at Grace, our executive pastor, Tim, here's why we need you on the details. Here is why you are needed on these systems. Our IT director, look, I know how to turn on a computer. I know how to do just some basic stuff, but I do not know networking. And if Ken does, like in front of the whole team, say, if Ken doesn't do networking, then, I mean, Grace Online, that's going to be tough. Pushing out Deep Dive once a month, it's going to be tough. Like everything else, us being on a system together and email, I mean, a little bit difficult. Hotspots have a shelf life. So spotlighting that with the team, just say, hey, I don't know everything. I don't want to have the Nebuchadnezzar complex to think that I do when I don't. I think creates respect within the team for one another.
Well, and you have a unique situation there too, with you have 69 different first generation nations that are represented at your church. So that you know of, right? So you, aside from just not knowing, you're also dealing with cultural things. And I think in mm-hmm. camp ministry, we deal with a lot of that same type of stuff too, because we get people from all over, yeah. Maybe not 69 different places like you guys, but I mean, we still are dealing with some of those differences that we have to be able to say, hey, I don't exactly know sure. how to respond to this or answer this or yeah. be able to do some of that. So it's valuable to be able to bring that in. And one of the just to promote the camps for just a second and promote the SBCA. Well, one of the things that's the best part of that is we are some of the best sharers in the world. I mean, that is one of the things that has drawn me to camp ministry, and one has drawn me to doing some of those things. Is it's not a sense of we're only just out for us. And my encouragement to anybody that's listening, any of these camp directors that are listening, maybe you're a new camp director, maybe you've been around for a while, get involved with others who can fill out some of those areas for you, who can be that, you know, that mm-hmm. tech help. You might not be a tech person, but there may be another guy at a camp somewhere who has some information there that you can share. You know, we're not all going to be in the same ministry like we are at a church, but we're spread out and we're designed in the SBCA to help each other out to achieve the mission of sharing the gospel, of winning mm-hmm. souls, getting young people and adults to Christ. And that's phenomenal. So I would encourage anybody who's listening to don't sit back and think, I've got it all figured out, number one. Or don't sit back and think, well, nobody wants to hear from me, or I'm going to sound dumb if I ask somebody for help. That is never the case. You are never stronger when you're standing with and linked arms with somebody else. And that is, I mean, that's proven in Red Rover, if you didn't know that. So you can call back to that old game. And you know, you're strong when Red Rover and they come running. And if you're sitting there by yourself, you're just going to get mowed down. So think about that as you go into leadership. So, Jeff, we have been on for a little while now, and I wanted you to kind of get an opportunity to talk a little bit about your book, Persuasive Apologetics. I would really like for you to talk a little bit about that to the listeners so that they want to know where they can get that, or what that's all about, and that how that would work.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Jeff. So Persuasive Apologetics is trying to combine truth and tone. A lot, again, going back to our discussion about emotions and leadership. And man, I love apologetics, dedicated a lot of my life to that. We incorporate that in what we do here at Grace Fellowship. We have Berean Christian School that for the fall, I think we have around 800 students, K through 12. So it's a big part of our heart, professionally, ministerially. But in this current environment that we are all living in, if we are smelling the coffee, we know that this is not a culture that is currently driven by data. It's a culture that is driven by the effects of the fall through broken emotions. And just to back up for a moment for those that are on the podcast that follow these things, back just a few years ago, the intelligent design movement was a big deal in the 90s and probably early 2010s. With the Richard Dawkins, who was pushing back against that, with the God delusion, I think that was written back in 2008. It's just a huge concept, right? Is the universe created, or is it designed, or is it the result of something else that doesn't involve God or a God? The conversation, Jeff, was all about science, dominated the airwaves. Just a little over a decade later, we're having conversations in which we don't know what a woman is. And I'm not trying to be humorous here. Like literally, we're told at this point that you and I can identify as a biological female, or that biology has nothing to do with it. And so just from like a 30,000 foot view, we're in a very interesting time. And so all of that to say that I believe the scripture, I believe in general revelation, to where we have been given minds by God to process the world and to process truth and error. However, I think it is absolutely vital that the tone that we use is 1 Peter 3:15, gentleness and respect. And for those that are Christian leaders on this podcast, we know 1 Peter 3:15 give a reasoned defense, right? Apologia for the hope that lies within you. But sometimes in our wider apologetics, especially popular level apologetics, not necessarily from the scholars, but those who are popularizers of those arguments, that we must, if we're going to be biblical in our apologetics, we give the evidence, but do it according to the text with gentleness and respect. And so the book is trying to fuse together emotional awareness, good people skills, if you will, and good apologetics. So It's been fun writing the book. It's used for a few courses at Colorado Christian University right now. In fact, as of 3 weeks ago, Kriegel Academic Publishers is going to put that under contract. So it's available on Amazon right now, but that'll be, I guess, the next year republished under their imprint. So excited about that.
You know, as you're talking about that, you know, it makes me think that, you know, it is apologetics, but like you said, it's that tone in which we lead people as well, which fits right into what we're talking about today. I mean, that all of that, it flows into how you're received. You know, communication doesn't happen if you're if all you are is just talking to a wall. If you're just yelling at a wall, you're not getting anything back from that. And so in order for there to be communication. Mm-hmm. There has to be a communicator, and it has to be a receiver on the other end there. And I've always heard that, you know, if you're a leader and nobody's following you, you're just out for a walk. You know, you're not really leading anyone anywhere. And the same thing with the conversation is if we're not speaking in a manner that as we're bringing in new people, as we're bringing in a new generation, as we're talking to them and we're sharing our vision for the camp, we're sharing the gospel, we're sharing, we're sharing biblical truth as we're mm-hmm. discipling our staff. If we're not doing that in a way that they're able to hear it, that they're able to process that, we're not effectively communicating. So I think that that's an extremely valuable tool that we have there, and I'm going to make that available. I'm going to put it out there. The first five emails that I get, I'm going to buy the book, and I'm going to send it out to those camp directors that are listening too. So I'm going to do that for them. Be a blessing to them, blessing to you and your ministry out there for Thanks, all that Jeff. You're doing.
Appreciate
so,
that, man.
Man, I really appreciate what you're doing for the Lord. All right, so Jeff, man, it's been fantastic just hearing your insights on leadership and on our emotional maturity, our emotional security, and how we can develop that to be better stewards of the gospel for the people that we serve and things like that. What is something that you'd like to leave with us today? How can you? What is something that you would like for all of the directors and the camps? How would you like to encourage us, talk to us, leave us with something that we can chew on?
Absolutely. I would go back to, where is your enoughness?
Mm.
2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. So when there is a process that needs to be tweaked, and there always is, this process, the system, the way that we're going about serving the Lord, my enoughness, my identity is not in what we do. My identity is in Christ. And so if anything, the best idea wins. And the more we champion that, the more it will give our teams buy-in, and it will give our teams joy. And in this time of the great resignation that we are all in, getting and retaining quality people is a challenge for pretty much everyone. And so just encourage our teams to consider that, as the guy who's working the blower right outside my window is pursuing the best idea, which is to blow up the sidewalk. But just to operate from our starting point. Our starting point is our sufficiency in Christ. And so evaluating, tearing stuff down. One thing that we do just on a weekly basis, Jeff, for one of our sermon planning meetings, I don't know if this will be helpful, is we take what we talked about the Sunday before, and we'll say, in this meeting, there is no org chart. There is no senior pastor hat. The text is perfect. The God who gave the text is perfect. However, the sermon is not, and it was not. The preacher, and it's usually me, was not and is not. So I'm asking you, we're putting on the board what we're going to talk about in 5 weeks, what we talked about on Sunday, high-low of that. And so for me and my role, that is the premier product, if you will, the preaching of what people can see, if you will. And so just to have those guys to train, and as we work through it together, that if the leader is taking that step, then when we need to talk to our teams about something that needs to be tweaked, they've already tweaked. And some of the guys even still a little bit hesitant about that. And I say, okay, so then if you're hesitant to share, at this point, we've broken through most of that. Let me put the org chart back on. The lead pastor, the senior pastor, is requiring of you a specific duty during this hour. And that specific duty is for you to give for Sunday's sermon that you heard sometimes three times. If they were in all three services, most of them have other stuff to do. Give me the high, give me the low. And so that trickles down. And that, again, it's not like a ploy, but it is very, very helpful, because there's going to be things that you do with your team, Jeff, like you have to do. And so however that's relevant, I know with camp leaders, we're not necessarily up in the pulpit every Sunday. And so, but maybe the idea, the concept of, is there something that we can give certain team members, and not everybody's in that meeting, we're all created equal in the image of God, but not all opinions are equal. Not all knowledge bases are equal for certain tasks. But just that idea of the best idea wins.
Yeah, and you know, that brings to mind, and one of the things that I always have tried to do, and I'm not as successful at it as you, and probably not as others are, but is to have that King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table kind of mindset. You know, when King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table sat, they took out their swords. They put them on the table, and there was no king. There was no knight. They were there together for the kingdom of Camelot. And you know, that was that is that same idea that you're talking about there. It's we're laying down our swords. We're not putting on the head. We're looking out for the best of the ministry and what's going forward. And I think it does take a little bit of selflessness to be able to get to that point. I mean, you're elected as a leader to lead, and then be able to set that down and say, all right, we need to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's do this. You know, one of the guys that I hope to have on the podcast at some point talking about confrontation, his name's Kerry Massey. He gave us a phrase of you got to cuss, fuss, and discuss. And it's being able to do that and then get up and walk away from the
King James.
Yeah, exactly. And be able to do that and get up and walk away from that situation. Better and a stronger team, not having any personal, not taking any personal offense to any of that, but understanding that if the mission and the ministry is going to move forward, we have to be able to have those kinds of conversations. So what an encouragement. And I think it's extremely valuable for camp leaders, camp directors. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much, Jeff.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for that idea, Jeff, though, about the Knights of the Round Table. Man, I'm going to go look up swords on Amazon and see if there's a way I can get swords for our team and just weird them out once again. Right? Like, all right, pocket dome. Let's put all your pocket knives on the table.
Yeah. That's awesome. Jeff, thank you so much. You are a blessing to me. You are a blessing to your church and to the kingdom. And we're so thankful that that you're in this fight with us. And I don't know if you go out and you do things or you do things for others. If there's a way that people can find you to have you come out to their camp or something like that, how can they get in contact with you?
Yeah, you can go to gograce.church, gograce.church. You can find me on there, or I have a website, jeffreyrobinson.org. And I would love to serve however we can.
Absolutely. And I'll put a link to both of those in the description of the podcast. We've been talking with Dr. Jeff Robinson, and we're so thankful to have you on today. Thank you so much for the wisdom that you shared. I know it was just a little bit in a nutshell. We could probably sit for hours and do this, but the Spirit can only absorb what the seat can endure. So
that's right.
We'll go on from there. But thank you again for being out here, and hope to see you back on the podcast with us.
Thank you, Jeff. It is so much.
And that was my interview with Dr. Jeff Robinson from Grace Church for All Nations. If you'd like to get in touch with Jeff, you can reach him on his website at jeffreyrobinson.org. That's JeffreyRobinson.org. Or you can go to the church website at gograce.church. If you are interested in getting Jeff's book, Persuasive Apologetics, all you have to do is be one of the first five people to email at sbcapod@gmail.com, request the book, and I will be sending that out to you very, very soon. We look forward to seeing you more on the podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. May God bless you as you seek to serve Him in all that you do.
This has been Jeff with the SBCA Podcast. Praying all the best for you, your camps, and your staff as you seek to give Him glory in all that you do. See you next time.
The SBCA Podcast is a production of the Southern Baptist Camping Association. Our theme song, First Day at Camp, written, produced, and performed by Caleb Hilbert.